It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin. Theodore, breathe in, breathe out, me and more, breathe in, breathe out, never mind, it was time, number nine, let my lies.
We're into hour two here at the Golden Nugget. It's me and Sean. We'll be here till noon, and then we'll do it all again tomorrow in the DraftKings Sportsbook. So, Michael Carroll is the voice of this show. He will join us tomorrow at 11:30. And while this guy we never saw, unless you were a big nerd and wound up at a con or something, Comic-Con, a convention, the man behind Optimus Prime died. So we had Dolly Parton, Tim Curry, and Peter Cullen dead at, now he's dead at 85. He was the voice of Optimus Prime. He was the guy in all the Michael Bay movies. I didn't know his face, but I do, of course, know the voice and the name. And he passed away yesterday. It's the voice acting career is a pretty interesting one. You can do it clearly until you're 85 if you want, as long as that voice holds up, and never be known unless you show up at one of the conventions or I check your IMDb and go, oh yeah, that's that guy's name. That's that guy's name. So he was primarily, and I say primarily, and what I probably should just say only, a voice actor. I'm just going through the IMDb, and I don't know a time where Peter Cullen was actually seen on screen.
Yeah, I think if you do Optimus Prime, you can be more selective. You don't have to.
You're like, Optimus Prime, and particularly with how Transformers came on, starting with the first Michael Bay movie. You do that, and the franchise gets rolling, and you can just be Optimus Prime. So for the better part of, looks like when did the first one come out, in 07? So the Shia LaBeouf, Megan Fox one in 07. He did Optimus Prime up until the last one in 2023, Rise of the Beast. Now, they've had the animated one. He wasn't the Optimus Prime for that one because that was the origin story of Optimus Prime, Transformers 1. But he, in all the live-action ones and some of the video games based off of it, he was that. So he had that role for 16 years as far as the movie franchise is concerned, but he does pass away. So it's three. Tim Curry, I know the face. I know him from Home Alone 2, I believe, and some other things.
He
was in Clue as well. Kyle Brandt had a passionate walk and talk. I never understood the walk. Like he's walking, he's filming himself, and he's talking about how much Tim Curry meant to him. Certainly Dolly Parton got that as well. I don't know if Peter Cullen is going to get that, but for people who know, they know.
It sets up a tough precedent.
Like they say it happens in threes.
Yeah.
Peter Cullen, as far as getting his rightful due, would have needed this to happen a couple weeks from now, particularly. But the Nerdverse may honor him anyway, because like he was Eeyore in the Winnie the Pooh stuff. So yeah, he did a lot. So.
I'm just imagining Eeyore talking like Optimus Prime.
It would be great if he slipped into it at some point. So he did a lot of Winnie the Pooh stuff, did the Transformer stuff. So he passes away at 85 years old. As far as the living are concerned, we had the Astros lose last night in Yankee Stadium. So they try to avoid the thing that they've just been on for the last couple weeks, winning the first game of the series and then losing it. To try to stop that, it'll be Hayden Wesneski. And Wesneski goes tonight in Yankee Stadium against Gerrit Cole, familiar face and name for the Yankees. And Cole hasn't been bad this year. The win-loss record probably doesn't reflect how well he's pitched. 7-6 on the year with an ERA just above 3.1. So it'll be Cole against Wesneski. Seems like a mismatch, but we'll see.
Back of the baseball card tells you it's a mismatch.
Yeah, certainly. And I appreciate you pulling that out, because that was an Astros feels like. It wasn't an official slogan, but it's a thing they use a lot to justify some of their moves that were not going well, and they continue not to go well. So whatever it takes to break this string, I welcome it. Yesterday was not the exact opposite of what happened in game one, but it was the Yankee bats who came alive late. Good old Cody Bellinger had a moment, so always great to see Cody out there, one of the main antagonists of the early Astros runs, particularly because of his comments. And we know Correa told him to shut his mouth, and Correa might be back. In fact, the projection is he'll be back in September. I really need Carlos not to ruin my under 500 Astros division winning agenda. He has
worked. He's the biggest threat.
I mean, just adding more talent anywhere, I'm not looking for. I want Carlos back, but I just need the rest of the team to follow in the path they've set. I'm not. To be clear, I want them to make the playoffs. I just want them to do it the way I want them to do
it. Yeah, yeah, under a very specific guideline that they're on pace to do.
Because it would lead to particular conversations that I won't get involved in, but I expect them to occur, and I want to at least have them out there where people will campaign because of this one-time occurrence about what baseball needs to do to change. Imagine this taking the forefront of baseball conversations when there's a work stoppage just to distract. Hey, Russo, no, don't talk about a strike or a lockout. Tell me why the Arizona Diamondbacks should be moved to the AL for this season because they're more deserving of making the playoffs than an under 500 AL West team. Get that off. That's what I'm looking for. If the Astros can make that happen, great. So he can be performative about how upset he is about this one thing. Just give me the Astros on ESPN. That's all I'm looking for. But beyond that, if they're not going to do that, then maybe play good baseball and stop losing series. It was unacceptable, but nothing we could do about it to lose those series to those bad baseball teams. The Yankees are a better baseball team, but if you have any inkling of what you were during the good times, you turn this around by winning a series against the Yankees. Not that I need to see Nick Torturo.
Oh, yeah.
Again, he already made an appearance after game one. But if that's what it takes just to upset him, let's win a series. How about that? I'm not asking for much.
That's another walk and talk, right?
He does. Yes, he's a walk and talk guy, yeah. It's him, Kyle Brandt, Bill Simmons will do it. There's a lot of guys who do it. I think Adam Wexler will do the walk and talk at Texans camp when he's coming off the field for practice. So the walk and talk has become a thing. No walk and talk's coming. I don't use Twitter very much anymore, but you know what you won't get?
A walk and talk
video. A walk
video.
And talk. Yeah. I mean, man, the Cougs really took it to Texas Tech.
Hey, man.
We're giving away tickets to not – this show, but the John and Lance show and then the Jeremy and Joe show are giving away tickets to the Cougs versus Oregon State to open up the season. If I attended that game as a media member, I'm not walking out of there talking about, man, it was great to see Connor Wegman get going.
Yeah,
and
Connor Wegman dealing against the Red Raider defense.
The Oregon State defense in this case. For game one. And then, you know, Keyshawn Henderson got in there. He was everything he's cracked up to be. Nope. Yeah. I'm just going to sit home, watch the game, and root on the Cougs as they try to get their season started. So if you want to go to that game, keep listening to John and Lance and then Jeremy and Joe because they're giving away tickets up until September 4th. They're going to give away tickets every day as the Cougs get their season started. Willie Fritz will join the John and Lance show every week. So if you want to hear from the Cougs head coach, we'll do that for you. You know, the John and Lance show will always have coaches on, so expect that to continue. I don't know that Mike Elko has been confirmed. The Mike Elko show will be on ESPN 97.5 because college football is here, and we are your home for that, whether it be on the weekends with games or just hearing from the coaches throughout the weekend. There's a little talk about a college football podcast that may begin next week as well.
Rumors.
On ESPN 97.5. Rumblings even. I talked to Eric, and he can confirm. There could possibly be a college football podcast starting up here soon. All right. We'll go to break. We got a couple more segments to go before we wrap it up here. If you want to join us, the number is 713-780-3776. I missed out on getting to Jed York yesterday.
Hmm?
But we will get to Jed York when we come back because, as I said yesterday, my dream is dead about why he approached the $160 hooker. We have, Lady of the Night.
I was going to say, wow.
Lady of the Night.
We don't know.
Sex worker. Prostitute, I don't know. Hooker's probably more too aggressive. I'll admit, that's on me. Let's go with sex worker.
That's less than $200.
I mean, sex worker seems more acceptable in today's day and age.
Yeah.
There's more information coming out. Roger Goodell has a statement on the matter. And we find out exactly how that all went down. Thanks for more reporting. We'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
So we're here for our draft, and on the television in the sports book, there is a fantasy show going on. And one of the people who made the list of do not draft guys are David Montgomery.
According to Heath.
Whoever Heath is on CBS Sports, he says, don't draft David Montgomery. He has him as RB22 in fantasy leagues. So it got me thinking, first of all, shut up, Heath. You don't know nothing. But
unless you're Heath Miller, which I don't think you are.
No, I looked at him. That's not Heath Miller. There's a lot more hair than Heath Miller had the last time I saw him. Different body types. You know, one an NFL fullback, one a fantasy nerd. That's how things go. But think about recent Texans running backs. Now, Nick Chubb just retired. He was on the path for that anyway, but he comes here, spends a year here, retires. Joe Mixon has a good year here, and he never plays football again. Dave Montgomery, secure an extension before the season's over.
You got 1 year.
Because if we just go by recent Texans running back history, he'll have 1 year. It could be on the Joe Mixon end. That's what we're hoping for. The Nick Chubb end, we're certainly not looking for that.
No.
We're not looking for the Nick Chubb year from Dave Montgomery. But even if it is on the Joe Mixon end of the spectrum as far as success, then is he done playing football? I've been looking at trends lately. From C.J. Stroud not going great in year two, no matter whose coordinator is. He's spent short time. I mean, it's Ryan Day or Kevin Wilson at Ohio State. Now, Bobby Slowick. We'll see about Nick Cayley in his second year with C.J. That the Astros not winning a series after winning the first game of the series. And now Texans veteran running backs the last couple times. And not just having bad careers the rest of the way.
Just done.
Just stop playing football.
Just done.
You come here for a year and you stop playing football. So I'm hoping David Montgomery breaks the trend. Have a good year, and whether the Texans pay you or someone else, let's hope this isn't where running back careers come to die.
And Lamar Miller had 1 year after the Texans because we're looking even going further.
We went
back.
Further back. Now Lamar had three pretty good years with the Texans, did not play the following year, and then played one game in 2020, and he was done. So even as far back as the Bill O'Brien era, we've had Texans running backs. Now, at least Lamar got 3 years in. It's to the extreme now, where it's one and you're done. But let's hope that doesn't change, or at least let's hope that does change. And let's hope Heath from CBS Sports is right.
Heath
or
Cummings.
Wrong, excuse me.
Yeah,
I ain't gonna trust a Heath. I didn't like Heath Cummings. Evans either, mostly because he was a Patriot. But
Oh, Caleb Williams also do not draft. Who's this guy drafting now?
Are they still in that portion of it, or are they just now talking about
that? Yeah.
Oh, Caleb Williams is on the do not draft.
Because they had all of them, okay, and now they're going one by one.
So, Caleb Williams, I won't take him in the draft tonight if I believe what Heath has to say. Okay, as far as other NFL news, beyond the fact that the Pro Bowl is no longer a thing, the Pro Bowl game had lessened in importance over the last 10 years or so. Now they're just not having even the skills competitions that they're doing. No flag football, no Pro Bowl games. They'll just announce Pro Bowlers, and that will be it. So that goes away. I don't know that. Actually, I do know. I won't miss it. I don't know the last time I did watch a Pro Bowl. The only thing that comes up around Pro Bowl time that I pay attention to is when Sean Taylor drilled that punter. That pops up all the time.
Oh, yes. It goes viral for the last 20 years.
Yeah, and then I go, oh, I remember that. Was it Brian Moorman that he drilled?
Yes, it was the Bills punter.
Yeah. How dare he run a fake punt when Sean Taylor's out there? got what he deserved. But, hey, you should know better.
Yeah, no, I mean,
what are you doing running for a first down?
I understand, hey, we'll do some trick plays. It's the Pro Bowl, whatever.
But if I'm the punter, excuse me?
Yeah.
Who's lining up?
I'm checking out of that. Yeah. When I see 21
he looks
with no gloves on.
Yeah. What are we doing? That guy tapes his fingers. I'm not gonna try to get to the sideline. He tried and couldn't make it. And that was the end of Brian Moorman trying to run for first downs in Pro Bowls. So that is gone. The NFL is instituting rules to punish players for what they deem as dangerous behavior, whether it be a hip drop tackle or a blindside block or lowering your helmet to spear a guy. They're doing, and those are already rules. Those are already things you can't do, but an accumulation of those will lead to suspensions and could carry over from season to season. So the NFL is doing what they can, whether it's met with approval from the players and the fans, don't know that they care that much. So be on the lookout for that. If you start to see a hard-hitting Texan and the conversations about if he does this one more time, he's going to miss a game. So we did it this morning. Who's most likely? Of course, Azeez Ajayi came up. Jalen Petrie, just because of the way he plays. The Texans are big hits all day, we know, thanks to Kamari Laster. So they may be susceptible. Got to keep it within the rules, or you won't just get fined. Over the course of the season, it could cost you a game, like how the NBA does with their point system when it comes to technicals and flagrants and stuff like that. So need to avoid that. Jed York, the owner of the 49ers, the story is he got pulled over at a trailer park because he was trying to secure a sex worker at a price tag of what turns out $160. He went on a website. Frequent is the right word, but he was on there multiple times trying to get this done.
Okay, not his first time.
No, it wasn't. No, I think the number was three times he went to the website, and it turns out it was a sting operation. So he never even met the woman in question. So it removes my theory of it was a girl he knew back in East Ohio that never gave him the time of day.
How do you like me now?
Yeah, and then he had some money. Oh, look how life's treated you. I'm Jed York.
Here's almost $200.
Perhaps you should have showed me or given me the time of day back then. Now look where you could have been. I could have divorced you, and you would have had a lot of money, and you wouldn't have to be doing this. But instead, that theory's out the window. It wasn't that. It was like the world is today, a digital experience, and then he never met the woman. We still don't know what criminal tools are. I assume it's drug-related, but they were not very open about the description for criminal tools, because that's another one of the charges. It's been pled down. It's not pled down the conduct detrimental, but it's along those lines where it's like, hey, you're not doing something great. We're not going to hit you with being involved with prostitution, but we are going to let it be known that we got you, and then you have to deal with the consequences. It's a less entertaining story if I just know he went on the website and it didn't work out for him.
Yeah. I still cannot believe that a billionaire,
even with it being $160 now, as opposed to $140.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it did go up 5%.
Yeah,
but it still is shocking to me that there's not a comma. There's not a comma.
$1,060, right? Like, at least
$1,100.
Didn't even get the four figures.
You know,
triple figures even.
It's a bizarrely small amount of money to have, because even I don't know to go online again. What is he bargain hunting? Like, did he have a coupon? Like, what? Why is it so?
I said, Gail King, talk to Jed York. I need the answers.
This is not what I imagine billionaires do. This is not what we all know that, hey, you know, your luck with the ladies gets better, the higher net worth goes. We talked about this when we first talked about it, where it's like you can achieve the same goal by spending slightly more money.
You can have the personality of a piece of wood.
Yes.
And because you're Jed York, it should come pretty easy to you. And instead, some people think he just has a proclivity and wanted to slum it a little bit.
I guess.
Perhaps. And also, to get caught up by the Mahoning Valley Human Trafficking Task Force, that's terrible. It ain't even like it's a big city.
Yeah.
It's not like the FBI got him.
It's not Delco County Task Force.
No. Yeah. Mark Ruffalo didn't even get him. Like, Mayor from Easttown didn't get him. Name other famous cops on HBO if you like. McNulty didn't get him.
Oh, no, McNulty.
Yeah, it was the Mahoning Valley Human Trafficking Task Force. Picked him up. They set a sting up. They used that website, and he thought he was going to get to have an opportunity to spend, I don't know, 15 minutes at $160.
Yeah, yeah. Are they going to do, like, the photo when they, like, get a bunch of drugs or, you know, bags
gonna,
of cash?
What are they going to do? Yeah, have the criminal tool with the photo?
Criminal tool and eight $20 bills. And
you think, see, I got them at a – I got him at a Hundy and 320s.
Okay.
Yeah. Or he asked if it was tap to pay. Who knows? Yeah, I did it. But he never got – maybe he paid it on the website. He could have just – because why would she meet – why would this – if he's doing it on the website, why would she meet him before paying? I know we think it's a cash business, but maybe on the website –
historically, it's been
a cash
business.
Historically, yeah, leave the money on the counter. I don't pay – I'm not paying for you to – the sex, I'm paying for you to leave, all that stuff, all those jokes. But – if it's on the website, maybe it was like, hey, you got to pay beforehand, and he uses PayPal account. The question is, does he get his money back? Does he get his money back?
I think it gets forfeited.
Or does it get sent to the fine that he has to pay? Is it part of,
no, I think it, you just I
oh,
think
you
that's
just lose that.
Property of whatever county
Mahoning Valley.
Yeah,
whatever.
That goes into the task force budget for next year.
It's funny if that becomes something that's like a charitable work for like kids. Like, hey, we got to repave the basketball courts. And that's where that money goes.
Honestly, $160.
It's not going to get it done.
That's what's so shocking. But I cannot think of how you can reinvest that into the community in a way that is past like
it's on top of all the other guys that got caught at $160 a pop. And then eventually you'll be able to repave your basketball courts in Mahoning Valley. Roger Goodell has said that his conduct, and that's York's, will be reviewed under the personal conduct policy. We'll do that, and when there's something to be reported, we'll talk. So we'll see if Jed York, you know, Goodell's boss, will actually suffer any consequences.
Roger Goodell also said, only $160.
Jed, what are we doing?
What?
Like, Roger Goodell's a very wealthy man for being the NFL commissioner for a long time now.
Have you ever heard of getting your money's worth? Come on, you get popped for this.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing on multiple levels, and the fact that it cost him his reputation, and it was $160 worth. You got to make better choices.
Yeah.
Jed York. And, you know, it's always a part of the story that he's recently divorced. There's a group of women who know Jed York's ex-wife. Just laughing their asses
off. I would – that they could pay-per-view that group text.
Yeah. When that came across the timeline and those women had started to talk, you would imagine – they don't have a high opinion of the man in general.
No.
But this is part of the equation now. He's in the middle of the divorce.
Like
I don't think it's finalized. Just throw that on. Hey, Jed, do you really want her? You really want to fight her on this one? This is now in her back pocket. She didn't have more.
You understand how this looks, right?
I know. Yeah. Speaking of that, Chris Hansen is buying time in front of that movie.
Saw that.
Because he's not as involved in the movie as he would like. From what I was told, from what I read, this isn't going to be this exaltation of Chris Hansen.
No, it's not going to be. Wasn't Michael Jackson awesome?
Yeah, it's not going to be that.
Wasn't Prince or wasn't Queen really cool?
Yeah, for all the things that you would say Chris Hansen did that are good because he's exposing pedophiles, it appears that Chris Hansen's not going to come out great.
No,
in this doc or this movie. So we'll see. But buying time in front of the movie, hey. I'm Chris Hansen, and whatever thing he's promoting will be part of your experience. And they're patently false. Robert Pattinson, hack. we'll see how him laying the groundwork for how much the movie doesn't represent who he is goes. Let's get to some calls. We do have a couple people, and we were talking about the 49ers and Jed New York. Let's talk to Julian about his favorite team. What's up, Julian?
What's going on, guys? I think everyone is really missing what is really going on, man. We looked at the East Coast and saw that New England has 6 championships, and what their owner do? Get caught up where? Jed is just trying to be a team player. Bang, bang, hooker game. Mm. Have a good day, guys.
So if we take what he said at face value, and why wouldn't we? It's this show. Did all the Super Bowl wins come before the scandal? When did Robert Kraft get caught up?
Robert Kraft
scandal.
Orchids of Asia.
I remember that name is great. So great. When did that happen? That happened in 2019.
February 25th, 2019, it looks like.
So apparently
January 2019.
That's when he was charged.
That might sneak in another Super Bowl.
Was Tom Brady going into, well, ending his second to last year? Didn't he play for the Patriots?
In 2019 was
so
his last
February
year.
2019 was.
So zero Super Bowls since Orchid of Asia.
So wrong.
That's, well, did they win that one? Did they win the Rams
out on
Super
top.
Bowl? No, the Rams Super was Bowl was would have been February 2019, right?
So it came after.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. So it's close.
So
it's close.
Robert Kraft might have been involved before the Super Bowl, but he was charged afterwards. So it's close.
But, you know, how long was he doing it? Maybe that was the secret sauce the entire time.
He was always involved in massages.
And then he got caught, and then he couldn't keep frequently the same spot, and then boom. Yeah, February 3rd, 2019 was Patriots 13, Rams 3.
He got charged about a month after, so it happened before.
Okay.
So they did win the Super Bowl before it came to light, I believe.
Yeah,
at least
then,
before he got charged.
And then, I mean, they did go to Super Bowl last year.
Yeah, did not win. So, yeah. Julian, we see you working, but there are some timeline concerns we have here.
There's a thread to pull on here.
Yeah,
but
that having your owner get involved in something so embarrassing could possibly lead to championships. Calvin Nair, what do you got?
Oh, my God.
Not, it doesn't have to be this type of embarrassing. He could put out a rap song. That'd be embarrassing, too.
That would be
and less and more legal than what
way more legal.
That depends on what he says in the song, actually. Rappers snitch on themselves all the time.
Yeah, no. Don't go out like Tekashi 6ix9ine.
Yeah.
Cal McNair.
Cal, whatever you do, don't talk about anything that could get you in trouble.
Don't use real people's names.
Talk about barbecue and grilling and you should be good.
Cal Schmurda.
He's a hot, I can't even say it. He's a hot.
He definitely can't.
Yeah. While that's not illegal, he'd be in real trouble.
Hot water.
Yeah. Whatever he wants to say, stay away from that. Eric, you want to talk Astros and movies? We'll get to that when we come back. Anyone else? The number is 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. Here's Del Olalea.
All right, let's get to Eric here. He held to the break. We appreciate that. He wants to talk about movies and the Astros. What's up, Eric?
Hey, Del. Great show. Yeah, I heard Man of Tomorrow is going to break all records. It's going to break Avengers, the new Avengers movie. Also, Lanterns is such a good show. Are you keeping up with it? I just caught up with episode 2. I can't get enough of that Lanterns. And do you think the Astros should have traded Hunter Brown at least or Jordan to rebuild? And
are you ready for your massage, Eric?
Oh, well, I got to go.
I do appreciate some production.
Yeah. There's a.
I gotta look.
I like it. I like the.
We did talk earlier about Eric and whether her name is Candy one day or a different name another day.
Brandy. Like.
They have been in some way, shape, or form a part of ESPN 975 for at least 5 to 6 years, maybe longer than that. That same voice that you just heard asking Eric about his massage. They have been together for a good while.
At least as a creative team.
Yeah, I don't know if they're romantically involved, but whenever Eric wants to get a bit off and wants her to call in, she does it. So congratulations to you two. If you're a writing team or in a relationship, either way, we congratulate you on how long you guys have been together. As far as what he asks about, let's start with the sportsy thing he asks about. Should the Astros have traded Hunter Brown? It does feel inevitable, considering who his agent is, that Hunter Brown will be playing someplace else. You know, we got a taste of that with Garrett Cole. who will be pitching tonight for the Yankees, a star pitcher for the Astros, who leaves because they don't play in that, they don't play that game where they're paying a guy big money for long years. Should they have traded him? That's a tough sell. He's like, if we're talking about guys you should keep, the youngish pitcher, ace of the staff type, that's a guy you should be willing to have a real conversation with. I don't know how deep they would get into it because the demands that Scott Boras makes for his clients always exceed what the Astros are willing to acquiesce to. So that's not a trade you make this year. Maybe it's a trade you seriously consider in the offseason, no matter when baseball begins again. It should be under consideration, but I understand not doing it this year. Completely submarining whatever you think this year could have been. And that goes for Yordan. It's because it's not something you need to do immediately.
Yeah.
Certainly as the years go and team control goes as far as his contract, then he becomes less valuable of a player. But sometimes for the greater good of the city, and I don't know that they operate this way, you see breaking news and it's Yordan Alvarez has been traded when he's in the midst of a real chance at the Triple Crown. It is a tough thing because you still got to deal with the aftermath, and particularly when it comes to any results you get from it are likely not going to be seen for 3 or 4 years if it's young prospects. So that's a tough sell. That's why whoever is the new general manager should be someone that Jim Crane gives the type of carte blanche to make that type of trade. That you know it's going to go over poorly, but you believe in what you're doing, and you believe in the evaluation that you're making about the guys you get back. And that's why Dana Brown shouldn't have been the guy to do it, because it was clear that faith in him, whatever was there, was gone.
Yeah, they also had won 11 of their last 12 before the trade deadline.
That's the other thing. I forget because of they've reverted back.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they were a hot baseball team. And remember, if we think back to it, they were hot. And the problem was not keeping your stars. It was Varsho?
Varsho, and that's it?
What are you guys doing? Yeah. You guys are playing good baseball. It looks like you got a chance to run away from the ALS. What a dumb thought that was, clearly. But the thought was you could run away with the ALS. And who knows if you acquire a couple guys who can contribute in a bad American League, where could you be? Instead, you get Varsho. He did hit a home run, I believe, last night. But that's all.
Yeah.
And you have been a bad baseball team since that point.
Especially, like, look at your pitching. There's a little bit of, like, well, you could have avoided this skid with how you played after the trade deadline had you been more aggressive at that. You know, like, there is a road not taken that could have led you out of this abyss, but yeah, it is something where you have to remember at the time. Like before the season was, I think these are like off-season moves. I think even this off-season, it's more likely that one of these guys get traded. Probably not Yordan, I'd imagine, but maybe Yordan if he wins MVP, Triple Crown. His value will never be higher. It's a little bit like when the Marlins traded Stanton. Like, they traded him after the 60-year season, you know, or the 60-home run season. Like, they didn't – they took the – oh, this is our perfect off-ramp. It was right when that contract was going to get crazy expensive. And you do it like that where, you know, Yordan, the next contract you're going to have to pay him will probably be a bad deal, no matter who signs him to it.
Particularly the last couple of years of that deal. So you think about the league where transactions kind of feed the beast. That's basketball. And how long was Giannis, even if you remove this offseason when he finally gets traded, that stretched back to the All-Star
break.
Yeah,
I was going to say at least, or maybe like last offseason. You know,
yeah,
like
the trade deadline. That stretched back to that point. And there are conversations about where would he get traded before then until he said he would give it a go one more time with the Bucks. So when it comes to these stars, do some of these come about out of nowhere and quickly? The Luka Doncic trade, the prime example, maybe even Jaylen Brown's, although that had been signaled since the beginning of the offseason.
Yeah, the destination was surprising.
Yeah, the destination we didn't know, but we knew about him being in trade talks with the Celtics and Bucks when Giannis was still on the table, and then eventually the Sixers get the deal done. So, offseason trades.
Yeah.
It's it's a little different than basketball, but it's still so compressed for time when you're actually considering trading a star because your season's not going the wrong way. You don't gather all the information you need. You don't get the bidding war you're looking for.
Draft picks in the future open up.
Yeah, you get – this is a that's how basketball works in baseball.
Yeah.
The structure's different, but the off season is the time to trade a star like that, although the Astros' run was its foundation as far as being a real contender was based off trading for a superstar in the season, although that took to the final seconds and went back when the waiver wire stuff was still a thing when you can make a waiver deal. So it's a very difficult process. I don't get after them. I don't blame them for not doing it during the regular season. If they don't do it with whoever the GM is in the off season, then I think if you do have a problem with the prospect of them not trading those guys and knowing that they're likely going to walk away for nothing, then you can start holding them to the fire. But that's for the new GM and along with Jim Crane and maybe Jeff Bagwell to make that decision. And I say it in that tone for a reason.
Yes.
As far as Lanterns, I'm watching that show. I'm locked in. I think they're doing a really good job through the first two episodes. We had another listener, not the Art who generally tweets the John Lance show, but another Art who tweets me on this show. He wanted to talk about it. I think they made the smart decision of putting that show, and you probably should have seen it as a tip-off about how good that show was going to be, that they put it in their prestige time slot on Sunday nights. That should have kind of been our clue. And then you throw in Damon Lindelof of Lost fame, and he did The Watchmen as well. So that guy knows how to make genre television. And this is one of those shows where you've got sort of the kind of the hokiness of a ring giving you all that power. But they've based it on the relationships between the characters in the show, and I think they're doing a great job there. I'm looking forward to episode 3 on Sunday night, and HBO's got another hit on their hands. People are enjoying it, so we'll see. We'll see at least the show, it looks like, for another season. I don't know about the characters, considering what we saw at the end of season 1, who will be available, who will be around in season 2. But we know Guy Gardner will make an appearance at some point, so still waiting on that. But through 2 episodes, I think they're doing a great job there. Let's get to Chris. He wants to talk about a documentary, and then I'll wrap it up for the day here at the Golden Nugget. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up, guys? Love the show. I don't know if y'all had spoke on it already about the Vincent documentary, but it's kind of crazy to know that national championship probably would have never happened had Steve McNair not made that call to get him back to campus whenever he was talking about transferring. So I don't know. I thought that was crazy because I actually I had no affiliation with the Longhorns, but when I seen that game versus USC, I was completely a Longhorn fan, like, for life. So, yeah, it was just crazy to know that. I never knew that Steve McNair made that call to him to get him back on campus. So I was wondering if you guys thought about that, too. I appreciate it. Love the show.
Appreciate it, Chris. I haven't seen it. The thing that came out of it the most was that his relationship with Jeff Fisher wasn't good, and Jeff Fisher doesn't look good coming off of it. I will watch it at some point. I did not know that Vince Young was close to leaving. And, yeah, well, what would they be? Who was in line?
Oh, no, God.
Does anyone remember the backup? Like, that guy played a lot because Texas was dominating games, particularly in 2005. I just don't remember the backup quarterback for Texas in 2005.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Was it Jevon Snead?
You would have had a different level of success, whoever that guy was. Like, Mac had the program rolling, but you needed this transformational figure.
Yeah, I mean.
And, yeah, I don't need to explain it, Sean. It's unnecessary.
You saw the game.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. That's a great football team that needed not just a transformational figure, a transcendent game.
Yes.
Because USC was USC.
You needed Superman to be on your team.
To beat that team, that USC team in the final seconds. That's how good that team was. You needed Vince Young at the peak of his powers, plus the foundation of that Texas team that Mac built.
Whatever, 40 other pros.
Yeah, so I'll take a look. I did not know Steve McNair changed the trajectory of Texas football.
Yeah.
Did not know that. And it's interesting considering both of those guys wound up playing for the Titans. And Jeff Fisher, seemingly better relationship with Steve McNair than he had with Vince Young. That's on Netflix right now. It's the untold Vince Young story. People seem to enjoy that one quite a bit. I'll get a look at that at some point.
They should do a director's cut where it's just an hour and a half of
highlights, just one after, just every play he ever had.
Yeah.
just
why not?
Just do that. I'd watch
I'm sure
that.
There's a YouTube version of it already.
Yeah.
But if you want to double down and give it more production, why not do that?
I'll be in my hotel room alone watching it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a little.
Pay-per-view.
Wow. Lights off. Curtains drawn. All right. We're done. That's what that music means. AJ, since we're done, what's it going to be?
Appreciate the work you guys putting in.
Oh, look at that. D'Amico.
Thank you, D'Amico.
I think that's the first time I've heard D'Amico at the end of the show. Thank you, AJ. AJ, you're doing this tomorrow as well?
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll have AJ Russ along with us tomorrow as well. We'll be back. John and Lance starting off at 7 here at the DraftKings Sportsbook in the Golden Nugget. And then we'll go from 10 to 12 to wrap it up. And then after that, it's a listener appreciation party. Michael Carroll will join us tomorrow at 11:30 as well. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.